Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Revealing Information here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, I have in my hand the results of the fourth annual mechanics poll. Now, this is legit. This is conducted by Valvoline in conjunction with ASE, Automotive Service Excellence Organization.
Yeah.
Well, here's the news. 200 mechanics were surveyed and asked the following question. While working on your customers' cars, what items are you most likely to find? Here are the results.
Yeah, I'll look at one here. 98% of mechanics mentioned dirty clothes.
Well, yeah,
I understand that.
Tied with partially eaten food.
95% found money. 91% found personal letters. 88% found personal hygiene items. What in the heck would that be? 67% found a dead animal, and 55% found a live animal.
Well, quite honestly, I was kind of disappointed that they didn't kind of follow up and go more in depth, you know.
Sure, I mean, there's more to be learned here. There's much more to be learned.
So I have some questions that I'd like asked in the next mechanic survey, the fifth annual, when they do it next year.
Yeah.
These relate to those items mechanics find in our cars.
Yeah.
Number one, did they at least try on the dirty clothes they found? I saw Ralph in a miniskirt next to a 72 Fiat the other day.
That's a good idea.
Number two, what percentage of the partially eaten food did they at least taste?
Yeah.
Pete doesn't even bother bringing a lunch anymore. He figures somebody's going to have something in his car. Number three, we know that they kept the money they found, so we don't need to ask anything about that. Number four, did they read the personal letters they found? Were they able to read the personal letters they found? And my final question is about the personal hygiene items they found. Did they know what they were? Hey, Vinny, what's this anti-perspirant stuff?
Yeah.
Now,
well, I think you should be in the questionnaire development business. Well, I mean, you got a little knack for this, buddy.
I felt a little, slighted.
You did, yeah.
That I wasn't asked to participate in one form, either as a participant, as one of the persons that answers the questions, or one of the ones that formulates the questions, but maybe next year, though.
Well, now that they know that you're interested.
They'll never call, I'm sure.
No. Okay. Do I get a chance to read anything?
No.
Fine.
If you'd like to talk to us about your car. Oh, Jesus. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, how are you?
Well, we're just dandy.
Well, great. My name's Terry, and I'm calling from Toledo.
Toledo, so it's just T-E-R-R-Y.
No.
Oh, huh?
No.
What is it,
Yeah, but one R.
You're not from Toledo. You're not from Toledo. You cannot be from Toledo.
Okay, I wasn't born here, but I live here.
Ah, where were you? What part of California were you born in?
I was born in Detroit.
That's even worse. Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, Terry, what's up?
Well, I have an 85 Honda Accord.
Yeah.
It's a hatchback.
You sound like a school teacher.
Pardon me?
You sound like a school teacher.
No, I'm worse than that. I'm a baker.
A baker?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you make muffins and stuff?
Oh, I make desserts.
Sticky buns?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. All right, let's talk about the Accord first.
Okay. I had a noise coming from the back. It sounded like the only way I could describe it would be like a bongo drum, and I think it's my spare tire hitting. But I hope it is. I hope it's nothing coming apart on it because I really like this car.
You can't have any noises coming from the back of an Accord because there is nothing in the back of an Accord.
I know. And it's weird. It's really strange. It's when I go over bumps.
Yeah, and you hit boom.
Yeah. And it's hard to tell if it's the seal on the hatch because it makes a god-awful squeaking noise.
Uh-huh.
Or if it's something else. So.
Well, here's what you do.
Yeah.
You bake every day, is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. You have to take some dough.
Yeah.
Okay.
And put it around the seal.
Exactly. Put it where the trunk closes onto the body.
Uh-huh.
Okay, make it into like a long, pretend you're making a long, skinny baguette. Real long, skinny.
And you wrap
about 4 feet. Yeah. So this is gonna be your interface now.
Yeah. And you slam the deck right onto it.
And use plenty of yeast because you want it to rise and swell up so that space is taken up in there. And after having parked this thing in the sun for about 45 minutes,
it'll be all
expanded. You can drive it and see if the noise is gone.
Oh, you know, that would be so cool. But that's the least of my problems.
Oh, you got another problem.
Oh gosh, yeah, I think so. I went to have the noise checked out, and he said my rack and pinion is not good.
Well, mine isn't either, but.
And I'm thinking, well, it doesn't have anything to do with the noise, does it? And he says, no. He says it's your steering, right?
The rack and pinion is leaking?
No, it's not.
It's worn?
It's getting there.
Oh.
He says it's not bad enough to do anything with right now.
Yeah, I can see it now. The guy puts the car up on the lift, and he goes to the back, and as we know, as we just said, there is nothing in the back of an Accord.
Yeah, so
he says, I'm not going to make any money here in the back.
Right, let me see if I can sell her a $700 rack and pinion.
Let me go to the front where there's a lot of
stuff.
Where
the pieces are.
Because there are no pieces back here at all.
So, I mean, did he ever ascertain what the noise was? He just...
No.
Dismissed it as being...
We went for a little drive, and he said that he heard it, too.
I wouldn't worry about it. If your exhaust system is not falling off...
No,
and you don't have
is.
A broken strut...
No.
Then I would forget about the noise, and I would forget about the rack and pinion, and I would just do what my brother said, make the baguette, stick it in the door, and that's it.
Okay.
Now, going back to the rack for just a minute, I mean, it's possible that this guy has misdiagnosed it.
Okay.
So you might want to get a second opinion.
Okay.
But he may have misdiagnosed it in that one of the inner tie rod ends may be worn out, and he's condemning the whole rack for that reason.
Okay.
So you want to go to a place that does alignments, perhaps, and have them check it.
Okay.
Because if you do have a tie rod and it's ready to break,
yeah,
you want to get that fixed.
Well, sure.
Yeah. The rack itself is hardly ever dangerous if it's worn.
Okay.
But if he has, in fact, misdiagnosed it, and I mean, what he did was he jiggled the wheels, and you can see a lot of slop, a lot of movement there.
Mm-hmm.
And if he thinks the movement is coming from the rack, and it's actually coming from another piece which could break and be dangerous, then you want to know that.
And that piece would be the inner or the outer tie rod end, because the inner tie rod end screws to the rack.
Okay.
And if that's loose, it could make you think that the rack is worn out, when in fact that ball and socket joint's ready to break and kill you. Mm.
Okay. Is it?
I would put a lot of baked goods on the dashboard. it'll act like an airbag.
Yeah. Yeah, this car doesn't have an airbag.
No,
it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
So how is the baking business? I mean, tell us about it.
It's okay. I have a real good time with it. It keeps me from having to get a real job. And
Do you have your own bakery, or you work for somebody?
No, well, I work for somebody, but I do most of it from my house. And
That kind of a baker.
Yeah.
So you have like an oven in every room, right?
Don't I wish. That'd be too much work then. No, I still, this is just still a fun thing, you know, I do for family, friends, and anybody who wants to lay down some money and, you know.
Oh, so you don't actually sell your stuff through a bakery. You do
No, I don't.
So you're more like a caterer.
Something. Yeah, you could say that.
Keep it up.
Well, thank you very much.
And if you have anything that didn't come out too good, send it to us.
Oh, should I? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll
anything that you burned, send it.
We'll eat anything.
Nice to talk to you, Terry.
Hey, thank you so much.
Get that thing checked out. I mean, there may also be something real bad going on in the back, but I doubt it from your description.
Yeah. Okay.
But the baguette will tell.
Okay, great.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Eric from Charleston, South Carolina.
What's going on, man?
I have a 94 GMC Jimmy that it gets warm here, so we need the air conditioning. And in order to actually turn the fan for the air conditioning on, I've actually got to go in, open the hood, start the car, and set the fan on high, go in, and thump the blower motor relay switch under there, then hop in the car very quickly and drive off before anyone sees what I've done.
Yeah. And so what's the problem?
The problem is that's embarrassing, and there's only so many times that I can, you know, pretend to be checking my oil and actually have to thump a portion of my engine.
I see an opportunity for some really interesting engineering.
Oh, really?
Remote dumper?
A remote dumper. Can't you just see it? A little hammer mounted on a lever with a string that goes through the firewall and comes out right near the steering wheel.
That sounds simple enough,
right?
Yeah, sure. You go to the music store and buy a used Glockenspiel.
And you know they're all over the place here in Charleston, too.
So why don't you want to replace this relay? You just like doing this or what?
No, you know what? I actually did go to replace the relay, And the guys actually, they said, okay, no problem, you know, we'll replace this. And I show up there, and they said, we did have a problem. We replaced it three times. They put three new ones on there and said, it's not the relay. Something else will not kick the switch on.
Ah.
So now, wait a minute. Is this only the case when you have the AC on?
No, it's you know, it's heat. It's anything. It's actually, I think it's more along the lines of the fan. You know, the air conditioning, you know, once you get the fan going, it's
and
fine.
Then, and then you have all the speeds?
Well, yeah, I've got all the speeds, but if I move it while the vehicle's on, if I've already done the thumping,
yeah.
If I move it to another one, it cuts it off.
No, I think you have a bad switch.
A bad switch, but what if we've gone through a couple of switches and all of them seem to work?
What do you mean, what if? Have you?
Yeah, we have.
They've replaced the switches and the relay?
The switch is
the thing on the dashboard.
Oh, you know what? I'm lying to you. No, they didn't replace the switch.
I think you have a bad switch.
Okay.
I mean, it could well be. Just try this.
Okay.
Next time you get out and whack the relay,
right?
Don't whack the relay. Whack the fender.
Whack the fender.
Yeah.
Certainly.
And I'll bet you it works anyway.
Do you think so?
In fact, don't even get out of the truck. Whack the switch.
You really just want me to look stupid here, don't you?
Take off your shoe. Yeah, absolutely.
Make sure plenty of the neighbors are watching.
Okay.
You're going to start beating the hell out of the dashboard in the vicinity of the switch.
Now, do you want me to yell anything? Some kind of tribal chant?
You're going to yell, we will bury you.
We will bury you.
Remember that famous scene with Khrushchev in the United Nations?
Just tell all your neighbors that you're doing your Khrushchev imitation.
Okay.
You whack the shoe against the dashboard and say, we will bury you. I like it. And
no.
you can throw in a ha if you want to. And I'll bet you that makes it work.
Okay. No
good,
problem.
Good luck, Eric.
Thank you very much, guys.
See you later.
See
ya.
We will bury you. Ha!
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
From Nashville, Tennessee.
What's your name again?
Tama.
Tama?
T-A-M-A. Tama Tappan is the name of a little town in Old Mexico.
And you were named after it?
And I was named after it. My mom and dad obviously lingered a little longer than they should have there. 9 months later, I was born.
Oh, I see.
And they named me Tama.
Well, how sweet it is, huh?
Isn't that funny?
It's a good thing they weren't in Spokane.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh, Seattle.
So what's cooking?
Well, it's my car stinks. It's a 2001 Jeep Cherokee Sport, and we're trying to sell it, and we can't get anybody to look at it because you open up the door and it knocks your nose off.
Hmm. What happened to make it smell?
Well, it smells like mold. It smells like dirty gym socks. And now for the last 2 months, it's just gotten progressively worse and worse and worse. And my daughter, it's her car actually, and she can't even drive it. It makes her sick.
All right. Do you have a Walmart near where you? Of course you have a Walmart, right?
Sure.
All right. You got to go down there and clean out the Old Spice shelf.
Can I use Kathy instead by Clinique?
Well, I mean, was the car like in a rainstorm with the window open or something?
No,
does it have a sunroof?
No, it doesn't have a sunroof. We've had it detailed. We've had it, you know, we've cleaned it.
You need more than detailing won't work. What it will do, if they put enough of those, I mean, I've seen cars where they have 9 or 10 of those pine trees hung in.
Yeah, scattered all over
it's
the
It's like
floor.
A forest. You know? Don't light a match. You might start a fire. you can try to cover up that smell, but it will always come back.
Wait, you can't even cover it up.
Well, use enough Old Spice. And you can cover it up long enough to sell it, maybe.
That'll make you sick,
but
too,
what you've got to do is you probably have to take the carpet out.
Why?
Because the mold spores are living in the carpet.
Yeah?
And you'll never get that out.
Well, how does it get there in the first
Someone
place?
Left the window open.
Now, I have had cars. I'm 48 years old, and I've had cars my whole life, and I've never had anything like this happen. And I've had cars. I've left the windows down.
Oh, so you did it. Well, it's possible that the windshield has leaked.
Well, it's terrible. It must be some kind of a leak because it gets worse and worse and worse.
Ah.
Well, it could be a leak or it could be that the air conditioner drain is not working. You know, there's a drain that allows the water from the air conditioner to escape the car.
Hmm.
And if that's plugged up, then the evaporator is filling up with water and that eventually is leaking out and getting onto the carpet and you're growing mold spores both on the carpet and in the evaporator housing.
How long have you had this problem?
About 4 months.
4 months?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Well, I would take it to the dealer. Huh. And if they clean out the evaporator drain, and the thing that kills mold better than anything is
what?
Sunlight.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know what I never tried?
A sun lamp.
Sun lamps.
Really?
I never tried it. You might end up setting the car on fire,
That's right. It'd have an awful nice tan, though, wouldn't it?
You'd have a tan, the car would be on fire, and you wouldn't have to sell it.
But I would take it to the dealer, make sure they check the evaporator drain, and more importantly, that they check for service bulletins to see if, in fact, these have a problem with the windshields leaking or water getting in some other way.
Right.
But before you yell at them, you should get your daughter and hold her feet to the fire and make her swear to you that she didn't leave the windows open after some drunken party that she went to.
I will do that.
By the way, is your daughter's name like Phoenix or something like that?
No, it's not. That's too funny. But I should have done that. Her name is Chris.
Daughter's name is Kitchen.
Kitchen
table.
You're too funny.
Hey, nice talking to you, Tamara.
You too. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Oh, Howard Johnson.
Okay, now before we give the answer to last week's puzzler, we have to pause.
Why? Why can't we just do the puzzler? I mean, why can't we just do that now?
Because you're going to need time to remember it, because this was your puzzler. We'll be back in a minute.
Ah! I remember it!
I was washing antique cars, working part-time for my dad after school. When I got the go-ahead to pick a car and spin around a neighborhood, it was a baby blue 52 Roadstar. It was a beautiful car.
And even though Superman changes the station faster than a speeding bullet, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzle, which came from none other than my own brother.
Yeah. So there I was leafing through a book, and I saw this ad for a company, which I subsequently found out had gone out of business. And as I presented the puzzler, I said that there are many companies that go out of business because technology overtakes them. And this is known as the buggy whip syndrome.
It's left,
you know,
in the dust.
They're left
so to
in
speak.
The dust. They're making buggy whips, and there are no more horses.
No more buggies.
And this was a company that went out of business, presumably for the same reason, and yet this company was called the Scott Muffler Company.
Now, you would think that with a name like that, it's a cutting-edge company. I mean, it's
sure
around at the time when cars were coming into their own.
That's right. It was actually 1919. And the Scott Muffler Company had these big ads, and technology put them out of business.
Get out of town.
Get out of town, you might
say. And the question was,
How come is that?
Why? What technology was it that put them out of business?
I mean, cars still have mufflers. They've had mufflers from day three up until now.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that the Scott Muffler Company went out of business is they didn't make mufflers that go underneath the car.
No.
Because in 1919, cars...
They made rooftop mufflers.
They didn't have any heaters in cars.
Uh-huh.
And they were selling scarves.
All those
the
kinds
Scott
of mufflers.
Muffler.
Put on your gloves
Put
and your muffler.
Put on your gloves and your muffler so you wouldn't freeze your tush
wow.
while you were driving in your 1919 Ford Model T.
Now, I want to just show you how to be supportive of a sibling that utters a crummy puzzle. Boy, that was wonderful. That was historic, folkloric,
yeah. Yeah.
Challenging,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what are those other words? I can't come up with any. I mean, charming.
Well...
And obfuscating.
Just to let you know that I'm a man who likes honesty. I I mentioned this puzzle to
a bunch of people.
To my wife the other day.
Yeah.
And she says, why did they go out of business? People still wear scarves.
Huh.
And I said, oops.
Oops. Well, not to the same degree that they would be wearing them if cars didn't have windshields. That was the other thing.
Sure.
The windscreen became popular, too.
Yeah.
At that time. Yeah. And but still, obviated.
They shouldn't have gone out of business.
No, though. They should. They were mismanaged, I
mismanaged.
Think.
Absolutely.
What they should have been doing was they should have been stuffing those things in the tailpipes to quiet the cars.
All right. So do we have a winner?
Do we have a winner?
Yeah.
Our winner this week is William DeBuvitz.
Really?
From Mendham, New Jersey. And for having his correct answer chosen at random from among all the right answers this week, William will get one of our CDs. Men are from GM. Women are from Ford. It's a CD about couples and cars. A must for anyone looking to generate discussion with a significant other.
Mm.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler. Notice how I just zip right through that. Zip.
Yeah.
We'll have a brand new puzzle.
I could learn to do that.
You could. I don't think so. We'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, we will take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255.
I love
Hello,
it.
You're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Maria, and I'm calling from Hood River, Oregon.
Marie.
Hi, Maria.
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 Hood River, Oregon?
Yes. Yes, Hood? Home of the Danju Pair and windsurfing.
Yo who?
The winter pair and windsurfing and kiteboarding is done out here.
Kite what?
Kiteboarding. It's where people get on boards and they attach themselves to a big kite and they kind of sail around.
Don't you remember we were in Florida? We tried to give the guy $20 to strap you in and you wouldn't go for it?
No, it's
I know, I always saw it.
But what do you do with the board?
The board is strapped to your feet.
Yeah.
And you go where?
On the river.
Oh, so you're on the water all the time?
No. The kite lifts you above the water, sometimes 20, 30, 40, 50.
And then you come back down and land on the water with your...
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Either that or you go face first. So anyway, what can we do for you, Maria?
Well, I'm calling about my 2000 Volkswagen Jetta. We just moved up here at the end of December, and my husband, I handed over all car responsibilities to him, and he was checking the oil, and he came in, and he said, you know, you can't drive your car anymore, but all over the gasket and the dipstick, there's just clumping. It looks like pistachio ice cream. And I'm afraid there might be a coolant leak. And so basically we contacted the dealer and they said, don't drive it. So we had it towed to Portland, which is about 60 miles away. They call us up a day or two later and they said, no problem. This just happens in Oregon. You know, we had moved here from California. So, and they said, it's cold here and there's condensation and there's people around here who use this as a gimmick to get people to do full engine or full system purge of their cars.
Aha. Uh-huh. So they claim it's a consequence of the high humidity in Oregon?
I guess so.
Is it a high humidity area?
Well, in the wintertime, yeah, there's a lot of rain. But we moved from Northern California. It was a very similar climate. And I've lived in Philadelphia before, and we've never seen this happen.
So they basically told you there's nothing wrong with the car?
Yeah. They said that we cleaned out the chamber and go home.
What? Back to Sacramento?
Sacramento. We don't want you here anymore in Oregon.
Yeah.
Get the heck out.
No, they didn't. No, no.
You've been nothing but trouble since you got here.
No, we're staying here. We're staying here.
I'm going to guess that they're right.
Huh.
You are?
Well, I have to ask a question first. Did you, before your husband noticed this, change your driving habits? In other words, did you start driving a lot of short trips or driving it, at the very least, infrequently?
Gosh, you guys are good. Yeah, yeah.
I was
driving like 20 minutes to work, and then I only live about a minute and a half from work.
So. Ah.
But now I'm riding my bike because...
Maria.
Good.
Yeah.
That did it. Keep riding your bike.
Okay.
And the reason you had this condensation in your oil is that you never got the engine hot enough to push the water out of the crankcase.
Huh.
So they're right.
If you take short rides, the engine never really heats up.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is nature's way of telling you to use your bike.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So I think your car will be fine. Just don't drive it those short distances.
Okay.
And if you do that, then once in a while, like every week or two, get it out on the highway and really drive it and, you know, get it real hot.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much.
See you, Maria.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good luck in Oregon.
Thank you.
Or okay. Sacramento, wherever you wind up.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Go home.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Steve from Campbellsville, Kentucky.
From who?
Campbellsville?
Yes.
As in Campbell's soup?
Yeah, the spelling's the same.
Campbellsville.
Yes.
Kentucky.
Yeah, I've got this 83 Dodge Omni, and to be honest, the way me and my wife have treated it, it's a miracle the car is still running.
It's a miracle that it's running no matter how you treated it.
Okay. Well, we bought the car for $50, so...
Boy, that's the best deal, isn't it?
But it's got this one thing that is extremely aggravating. It is, with this car, it is possible, and in fact, when I'm driving, it's highly probable, that you can come to a stop, turn the ignition off, pop the key out, and get out of the car, all while the transmission is in drive. Now, it's actually my wife's car, and for her, this is no problem. But I keep doing this, and I keep running into things.
So the problem is when you get back in the car, you turn the key...
Actually, whenever I park on a hill, I get out of the car, and the car starts taking off. I took out the rear deck of my parents' house.
Did you?
This way.
Really? But it won't start when it's in drive.
No.
Okay, so that's a separate issue.
But it's possible to take the key out of the ignition while it's in drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, somebody probably had a problem with it, and before you got it, they removed the linkage that locks it. This has a shift on the floor.
Yes.
They took out the mechanism that prevents you from taking the key out unless you're in park.
Okay.
Now you could get that replaced, or you could just try to remember to put it in park.
Well, obviously he can't, or he wouldn't be calling us. He's been trying to remember since just before he wiped out his mother's porch.
I mean, wasn't that
going to remember?
Wasn't that incident a good enough teacher?
No, because this happened several times. I've liked to run over myself a couple times.
Yeah. Mm.
Jeez. Well, I think you're going to have somebody take this thing apart and fix it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think what's necessary for us to find out what Steve does for a living. You're not an airline pilot or anything like that, are you?
No, sir.
Air traffic controller?
Air traffic controller.
Right. Nuclear power plant manager?
No, sir.
Okay.
I got it. Here we go. I've got it as usual. Here's what you do. You get yourself a pair of police handcuffs.
Okay.
You weld one end of them to the handbrake. And every time you get in the car, you handcuff yourself to the other end.
Now, the problem is the parking brake doesn't work either.
All right. Plan B. If we put a lever on the dashboard, so as you try to leave the vehicle, when you pulled on the handcuff, the rope would go through the pulley and pull the shift lever into park automatically.
There you go. Leave it to my brother to come up with some Rube Goldberg.
That's what I would do.
Like my dad now.
We may have to put Fred Glass to work on this right away.
Fred Glass is our resident inventor. And Fred Glass has invented everything. I mean, he's invented so many things.
No, Fred Glass is our resident reinventor.
Fred's working on a wheel right now.
Well, you know, Fred, not to take anything, Fred is a wonderful man, but he has invented many things that have already been invented, but he didn't know about it.
Well, that's all right, because someone has probably invented something for this little problem as well, but if we don't know about it, then Fred will have to reinvent it.
Now, I realize you're reluctant, Steve, with a car that you paid $50 for to take it any place. And spend money in getting something as insignificant as this fixed.
Right.
So we're going to have to come up with something brilliant, and we haven't thus far.
You didn't like the handcuffs?
No. I was trying to think of some way we could get a shock treatment from the coil right to Steve as soon as he turned the key off, but I'll work on
it. It's not our job. We will send Fred Glass down on a house call.
Okay.
And Fred Glass will invent something.
You may have to put him up for a couple of months.
That would be no problem.
No problem. Well, he'll be down in the morning. See you, Steve.
Hey, can I ask you one more
question? He likes Chinese food, too.
Yeah, what's the other question?
Okay, this will settle a dispute between me and my friend.
Yeah.
Say someone hypothetically ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And say a gallon of gas was poured into the tank, but it still wasn't quite enough to get the engine turned over. Would it or would it not be a good idea to pour a few drops of gasoline on the air filter?
The only problem with this is that you run the risk of backfiring and blowing the bejesus out of your catalytic converter.
Okay. Well, yeah. Also, it could fire through the intake, which is what happens when you have a very lean condition, which you have if you have what? No gas.
No gas. That's pretty lean.
It's pretty lean. And you could start a fire in the air cleaner housing.
Uh-huh.
And you could then ignite the air filter, which you've soaked with gasoline, and a few drops is more than enough.
Which is exactly what happened.
It is. Yeah, so...
Yeah, no, I wouldn't put it on the air cleaner. I would have taken the air cleaner out.
Right, and put it right down the throttle body, I suppose. I mean, that has been used for years, but it's not recommended. I mean, generally, the fuel pump will take over, and eventually the pump would pump enough fuel to the injectors. I mean, we have this problem all the time when we change fuel filters. You drain out a lot of gas when you do that, and you crank and crank and crank, and finally the thing starts.
Yeah, and the gallon of gas in the tank is certainly sufficient to get it started. You just didn't have enough patience to crank.
Okay.
Right, how'd you put the fire out?
And
is your wife still talking to you?
Did you, like, drive it into a lake?
No. I had a jacket that I started beating the fire out, and then I realized that it was the filter that was on fire.
Yeah.
So I threw it off to the side of the road.
Good.
And beat the rest of the fire out, but then I looked over and realized that now I had a forest fire.
Steve, I'm glad I don't live near you.
Do not move to California, whatever you do. They don't need you, man.
Good luck to your wife, Steve.
Okay, thank
you. See you later. Thanks for calling.
We know that she's a great gal.
All right.
Woo!
Good luck. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. My name is Nancy. I'm from Encinitas, California.
Yes.
Nancy.
Okay. This is kind of a multi-part question. It's about the phenomena of the two-footed driving, you know, in an automatic transmission, you know,
Yeah.
Okay. What I want to know, do you think it's a gender thing? My mother used to do it, and I have an elderly aunt that does this. And I was wondering if, you know, some morning I'll go out and jump in my car and perhaps do the thing.
Oh, and that way you'll know.
Is it genetic?
That something's happened. You've reached that point in your life. Yeah. Well, actually, I've discovered that most of the people that do this are guys wearing hats.
Yeah, I would have said
there is almost nobody that drives with 2 feet that doesn't wear a hat in the car.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you said gender, I immediately thought, yes, it is gender specific, and it's men who do it.
Oh.
Right. So now you're telling us that it's women that do it, but now we have to conclude that it's age specific.
That's what I'm afraid of. That's what I'm afraid of, that as Medicare comes closer, you know, I'm going to fall victim to this.
Well, have you received your first free issue of Modern Maturity yet?
No, not yet.
You haven't. My brother has.
Yeah. Oh, I've been getting it for 15 years. Doug get it. He got married the other day. He gets it.
Oh, dear.
No, he's getting modern immaturity.
Well, the AARP is right on top of the situation.
What about, do you think it's legal?
Is it legal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's legal.
It is legal. Yeah. Okay.
And it's not necessarily dangerous. In fact, I mean, I think what happens is it comes with the onset of the loss of confidence in one's reflexes. You realize I don't have time anymore to get my foot up off the gas pedal and onto the brake pedal. And then you start using your cane to push down on the brake pedal.
So in the absence of that confidence in your ability, you begin to adopt the
coping strategies, as we call
them. Coping strategy, exactly.
Yeah.
You begin to drive with that foot resting on the brake pedal.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the left turn signal on all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah. I forgot that one.
Right. Because it does. And the seatbelt buckle hanging out the door.
Yeah.
You guys have really, really made my day. I was really looking forward to it.
You've done all these things already, eh?
No, she hasn't.
I'm desperately trying to avoid all of these signs.
But you can't. I mean, sooner or later it will happen. So I think the best thing to do is to be tolerant of those people who have already reached the point where these things are happening,
okay.
So that when it happens to you, others will be tolerant of you. As
you
they
mean
say,
you expect my children to be tolerant of me when I am reduced to my dotage doing this?
They always say, be kind to your children because they're the ones who are going to pick the rest home for you.
Oh, that is frightening.
You better be nice to them.
All right. Okay.
But it's all right to drive with 2 feet, although it is an annoyance to people behind you. But mm-hmm. I think when you reach a certain age, you've earned the right to annoy the other people on the road.
I think I'm just going to get a Harley and forget the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's it.
There you go.
Good luck, Nancy.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, look, before we get to the new puzzler, and I know you can't wait, we have to take a short break.
Great idea. I mean, it's been minutes since our last break. I mean, minutes.
We'll be right back.
Two nights standing in Tulsa, pulling out and headed west. Brady grabbed the Gideons from the hotel in the desk, and we said, what's the matter, brother? Are you worried about your soul? He said, better safe than sorry, boys. That's just how I roll. We hit the road, feeling cool as Crosby, Stills, and Nash, overflowing with the spirit and the Bible on the dash.
And even though the longest day of the year feels even longer whenever people hear us say it, this is NPR. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Well,
What do you got there?
I don't know if I can
the
whole blow to
folder.
My
folder. Come on, you must have 100 puzzlers there.
Yeah, and most of them are.
Oh God.
Well, don't forget.
Well, just pick
it's
one
almost
random.
It's almost playoff season for the puzzler. You don't realize that.
Oh, I do.
You do.
I certainly do.
At the end of the end of the regular season is close. So
it's time to just put out everything you got, man. Don't hold back now because the season is over.
Oh, no, I'm going to save something.
Come on, just get out there. You can't just save the relievers in the bullpen, man. They got to get out there and do it.
All right, then I won't use this one because this really is bogus.
All right, go ahead.
All right, the inspiration for this was submitted by, the entirety of it was submitted by Tim Pugh, and it's from an email from someplace in the
cyber world,
in the electronic world, and the subject is the stakeout.
Oh, I like it already. Yeah.
Now pay attention.
Is it EAK or AKE?
AKE.
Oh, okay.
A detective is on a stakeout. He is watching a warehouse where he knows a bunch of crooks meet. But he wants to catch the boss, the big kahuna, you know?
Yeah.
So he's watching this warehouse at night from a second floor window of a nearby building. Crooks come and go all night, but he waits until the boss shows up to move in. He doesn't know what the boss looks like.
Never mind.
All he knows is that he always travels with two bodyguards, never just one. And that he'll be in a white car. Mm. Eventually, a white two-door coupe pulls up. Eldorado, I think. There are only two men in the car, and they get out of the car and go into the building. The detective just waits. Mm. While waiting, he nods off for a few minutes. Occupational hazard. When he wakes up, the coupe is gone. He watches another half hour and falls asleep again. When he finally wakes up, the same white coupe is back.
Ooh.
He uses his binoculars to look into the car. Don't forget, he's in a warehouse far away. And he sees that the car is empty. But he knows that the boss
is inside.
He calls back up, and the joint is busted, catching the big boss. The question is, how did he know all the facts are there, including some that you don't need?
I know that. I like it.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard.
I know the answer already.
Well, then write it on a postcard.
I will.
Or on the back of an original oil on canvas Pablo Picasso, complete with authenticating documents, and send it to.
We haven't been getting any
no,
of this
the
stuff.
Carpathian Elm Burl dining room set didn't
never arrived.
Never showed.
Yeah.
Oh, Berman says that's what you think. Anyway, if you want, send all that to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, as always, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Betsy from Framingham, Massachusetts.
Betsy.
Framingham.
That's right.
Now, tell me about Framingham. I mean, Framingham I believe, is the second biggest city in the Massachusetts, not in the United States. Is
well,
that true?
It's the biggest town in the country. It's,
oh,
it's not
a town.
Actually a city.
Oh.
Right.
It's a town. But yeah. What's there besides all malls?
Shopper's World, man. Isn't Shopper's World in Framingham?
I mean, I've never been to Framingham.
No, Framingham's not a bad place. It's a very diverse ethnic place, and it's got its good parts and bad parts. But, hey, you know.
Hey.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Well, I won't badmouth it anymore.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so here's my question. This is a work-related car question.
Oh.
All right, I'm an attorney. And I work for a legal services office. We represent poor people. And
oh.
I have a divorce.
Boy, you said that just in time because Ken Rogers had his finger on the button. And you were going to get cut off so fast. And you threw in that last one, we help poor people.
That's right.
Saved your butt.
I'm well aware.
Yeah.
So I have a divorce case. And in the case, the husband owned a 1979 Cadillac Fleet Limousine, and he was supposed to sell it and turn the money over to the court so that they could divide it later when they divide the marital assets, because
yeah.
it's really like one of the only things that they have.
Uh-huh.
And he was supposed to sell it, and he didn't do it. So the court ordered me to sell it and gave me the title.
Yeah.
And so now I'm in the position of having to try to sell this Cadillac limousine, and I don't have the first idea about how to go about it.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
What kind of shape is it in?
Not too bad. We
how much are you asking for it?
Well, that's one of my questions for you.
Oh.
It's a 79. It's got 107,000 miles on it.
137?
107.
107.
1,000, right.
Yeah.
And the one small problem, apparently, one of the reasons that he hadn't been able to sell it is because we're not sure that it really runs at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Something about some electrical wires. And the court told me to, you know, do what I could and get the best price that I could. But, you know, I don't know where to start to try to find somebody who might want to buy it. The body looks good.
Mm-hmm.
The insides look pretty good. There's some nice oriental rugs in the back.
Cool.
But, you know, it's old. But there doesn't seem to be much rust or anything like that.
Well, so it hasn't been driven in a long time.
It hasn't been driven probably in 9 months.
Does it have the privacy glass between the drive?
Yes.
Oh.
Now, I have.
Does that work?
I don't know if it goes up and down, but I saw it there.
See, I have always been a proponent of limos, used limos, instead of minivans for families with children. Because the trouble with the minivan is everyone is enclosed in the same space. So when those little rug rats in the back start, it's my side. No, it's my side. No, you're on my side. No, you're on my. What are you going to do? You can't reach far enough back to give them the dope slap. But if you had the little button on the dashboard, you just go.
Oh, you see, now
dead
I've solved that problem because I have my kids.
And if you're lucky, they'll have a hand stuck up there.
I have my kids drive, and I sit in the back. So when they start bickering, I can administer the dope slaps because I'm in the back seat.
It's dangerous because they're driving.
I know, but
something could happen.
Nah, they do all right.
So I would put an ad in the paper and say, a mother's dream. Get out of that frumpy minivan, because as we know, they're all frumpy-looking vehicles.
Right.
Yeah.
And get yourself into a Fleetwood Cadillac.
Yeah.
Limo. and especially promote the concept of the privacy window.
Privacy window,
yeah.
Right.
Now,
yeah,
the
aspiring rock bands also like to have limos. You can sell this to some musicians.
Musicians
are heavy into that.
Now, what would I be asking for this, would you say?
What do you think it's worth? I mean, you have no idea.
I have no idea.
Have you looked around?
Well, I talked to my auto body guy.
There you go.
He said he looked in like a blue book or something, and he said for that car, assuming it was running, of course.
$2,000.
$2,000 mint condition, $700 to $900.
Yeah.
Less than mint.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
I would say it's less than mint considering it doesn't run.
I would say so. Yeah.
I mean, I looked into this recently because I almost had my wife convinced that the limo was the way to go.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you did.
And so I actually looked in the paper, and I found a couple that were like this, vintage, early 80s, and they were asking $2,000-$3,000 for them. And I came so close to convincing her of this, and then she thought about parking the stupid thing, and that nixed the whole idea.
Now, if I didn't get it running and I wanted to sell it, what would be reasonable?
Then, if you don't get it running, you're down in the hundreds of dollars.
No, $1,200.
$1,200 for a not running vehicle?
Yeah.
Well, I'd ask $1,200 and I'd take $5 if they gave it to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or best offer. Huh?
Yeah. On the other hand, you could invest $100 or so.
Yeah.
And maybe they can get it running for not a whole lot of dough.
Okay.
You know, so.
Yeah, you should have someone look at it because, I mean, the price goes up really a lot if it runs.
Absolutely.
You know, they're much more useful if they run.
Well, you can.
I've heard that, yeah.
Right. I got it. If it doesn't run, don't advertise it as a limo. Advertise it as a studio apartment for musicians.
Yeah.
And you might be able to get $50,000 to $60,000 for it. Mobile
condo.
Mobile studio apartment condo.
Oh, God.
Good luck. Yeah, are you glad you called?
Well, you know, what do I know about selling a limo?
No,
so why not?
Seriously.
You guys seem like the logical choice.
No, if you invest maybe $100 to have someone look at it, figure out why it's not running.
Mm-hmm.
If he can get it running, it's going to make the difference between selling it for $500 and selling it for $2,000.
Okay.
And I presume that your client could use the $2,000.
Certainly.
You know who might be interested in this vehicle?
Who's that?
Write this down. You got a pencil?
Yep.
Doug?
Yep.
Berman, Berman.
Yeah.
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 I'll call him.
He's interested in one of these.
All right.
Yeah, if you saw what he was driving now, you would know just how interested he could be.
Big step up.
This is a step up.
See you, Betsy.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jordan from Iowa City.
Jordan,
how you doing?
Shaking, man.
Well, I've got a 93 Taurus wagon, and the better half of the family drives it to work.
Yeah.
And it's making some bad sounds. One of them is a...
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's a...
Yeah, under what circumstances does it make each of these noises?
When it's running.
Oh, you just start it up?
You start it up, and when you get out on the road, and it's got the...
Wait, you got to be on the road for it to do that.
Well, it does the noise more when in motion, but it does the noise when parked.
And this noise is coming from under the hood.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to think that you have a, maybe something as benign as a bad belt.
Mm.
Yeah.
Have you looked into that at all?
Well, I've had it to one mechanic and two dealers.
Oh.
And I've gotten about 10 different answers.
Really?
The first one, the guy says it's the alternator.
Could be.
And with the guy says, well, that's a fuel pump. And then the next guy says, no, that's a water pump.
Gee, I mean, you can't make that mistake.
Fuel pump noise comes from the back.
Oh, well.
The water pump noise comes from the front.
If you're sitting in the car with the engine running, and only with the engine running, you can sometimes hear the fuel pump, and you can verify if it is the fuel pump, because it would have sounded a few months ago like this.
No, I haven't heard that one.
You didn't hear that. It ain't the fuel pump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
However, the water pump would make noise whether you're in motion or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have one further problem with it.
Yeah.
When the missus drives to work and she gets up to 40 to 45, she says it doesn't seem to want to engage in the last gear. Mm. It'll just, and then all of a sudden, boom, boom, then it's there.
Mm. See, you know what's beginning to sink in, and boy, I'm starting to get nauseous.
What?
The reason that they haven't found the noise yet
uh-huh.
is the noise is really coming from the transmission.
Mm.
Oh.
Well, that's why there's been such controversy. But now that you've added this one little piece.
That's good news.
Because,
well, I mean, we were just dealing with the fact that you needed three different repairs.
Right, a minute ago.
You had to fix the transmission. We now may be down to only one thing.
So for one $1,500 repair, you can be back in traffic by Monday.
Everything's done.
Well, no one said transmission yet.
Well, they're trying to break you in. What they're trying to do is assess your tolerance for pain.
Replace everything and then that last?
See, here you are.
That's an interesting tactic. Here's what you do. If you have a customer that needs six jobs done, a new strategy. Right?
Yeah.
And there's one that's a biggie.
You start all the
smallest. You don't disclose that one.
Of course not.
You get them to spend $900 or so. Then
$200 at a time.
Exactly.
What? Water pump? Yeah, that's $175. We can do that. Bingo, you do it.
Right. Alternator? Yeah, that's $210.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should do them both at the same time. You'll save a few bucks. So you do that. and then they drop the bomb on you.
And by the way.
Oh, by the way, did we tell you you needed a transmission?
Uh-huh.
There you go.
How about selection number two, trade off and get new car?
Well, I mean, I think that might be a little drastic.
You think?
Yeah, and besides, that's the intelligent way out.
Hey, we're from Iowa, you know. But
what if you spent $2,000 on this car? I mean, as unacceptable as that may seem right now, you could warm up to the idea, couldn't you?
Well, I'd do it.
Yeah,
for
$2,000,
you can get the transmission done, the water pump, the fuel pump, and an alternator.
And whatever else all those noises might be.
And they'll throw in an air freshener and a car wash, too.
Cool.
And I think you should do that.
Well, thanks for your advice, fella.
Yeah, you won't heed it, but thanks anyway. We know.
We know you got the hots for a new Camry, and if you have to do it, go ahead.
Sure. I'm thinking Thunderbird.
See if we care. We don't care what you do, Jordan. You do whatever you want.
Well, I had to call to see what you thought.
And
you don't care what we said, see?
Right.
No, not really.
But it's been nice talking to you anyway.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, it's been real. Yeah, don't call back.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, Jordan. Thank you.
Well, it's happened again.
Well, it's interesting, though. We don't care what they do.
And they don't care what we say. What are we doing here? We're wasting our time.
We're wasting our time. We're wasting their time. And we're taking up valuable satellite time, which could be going to beepers.
No, if we weren't on, Scott Simon would have to do an extra hour. Would kill him.
That lazy bum wouldn't do it.
No, it would kill him.
So is he paying us or are we paying him?
I don't know.
Time
exactly.
to know, isn't it?
Well, it's happened again. You frittered away another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his annual pre-bathing suit season, fried clams, fried dough, fried chicken, fry offers, and Diet Coke blowout, John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge and Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our arbitration expert is Viola Fuss.
Mm.
Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. The director of our Alpine choir is Ole Olehi. Our locksmith is Eustace Nailfile. And our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our Puerto Vallarta transmission specialist is Cinco de Mayo. Our children's sleepover coordinator is Amos Mamami. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter.
Kent Hoyt, I like it.
Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Homeland Security agents posing as honey-roasted nut vendors in Harvard Square, as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1325, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to find a good mechanic.
That's easy. You can go to the marina and look for the biggest boat. Or you can see reviews of mechanics that other Car Talk listeners use and like in our mechanics files. You can search by zip code, area of specialty, or by the number of bunks in the guy's cabin cruiser. Find a great mechanic with the mechanics files right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Rafael Nadal launches 150-mile-per-hour serve at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.